It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Hey, welcome back. Good afternoon. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Dory Monson. It is such an honor and a privilege to be in the saddle here as Dory is salmon fishing. And Nicole, always a pleasure to work with you. Sean, great to see you again.
Hey, thanks, Jason. Yeah, it's been a while.
It has been a while.
I can't believe it takes Dory to be out to have a full studio of actual people. Nicole's in studio. You're in studio.
I'm in studio, and I love being behind the mic, and I love talking to you, Dory's audience. And listen, I get it. I'm no Dory. Last time I filled in, I had people reaching out. You're no Dory Monson. We want Dory back. I don't say I am Dory Monson. It's not the Jason Matera show. It's the Dory Monson show. But I think you're in steady hands.
You're doing great.
You're in steady hands. And if anything goes off the rails, we just blame Sean.
I like it.
Sure.
All right. There we go. Sean's on board.
Here Jason, have you been? You are super buff. I think the last time I saw you when you were in studio, you weren't as buff. Have you been working out during this pandemic?
Okay.
Okay. Yesterday, when I talked to him about the show today, he was at the gym.
I will say this. I did find during when everything was locked down. This has nothing to do with the Fastest 15, but it's a good story.
Mm-hmm.
My trainer called me and said, Jason, they locked down the gyms. I'm telling you, it's a respiratory illness, respiratory disease. These people are dumb. These bureaucrats. You need to be in the gym,
right?
You need to build up your lung strength, especially for something that's respiratory.
Right.
So I found an underground gym. I can't disclose where.
Wow.
But yes.
So you didn't buy your own.
I did not. No, everything was sold out. I wanted to, but everything was sold out.
Waitlist. Mm-hmm.
So it turns out that the bro science, right, from my trainer was actually correct. We have now studies coming out that those who are active, who are active joggers, right? You know, runners, active doing heavy lifting, working out, all that fared much better against COVID than those who just sat around eating potato chips.
Right. And I know that you normally have a very busy travel schedule usually. So this gave you the time to be home and just in your underground gym.
And in the underground gym. But yeah, actually, I like the gym. I don't like people do it for like camaraderie and going, you know, hanging out with their buddies. And it's like a barbershop to some. It's just alone time for me. I have two toddlers, two babies, and this the only alone time I get is at the gym. And my wife, same thing, when she's jogging, only alone time. So I enjoy the tranquil. I don't want anyone to talk to me at the gym.
Okay.
I'm not a people person, speaking of.
Right.
You know, I'm just.
Man, who talks at the gym?
People do.
Okay.
Like, they're just like hanging out, either talking on their phone or talking to somebody else. And, you know,
like
usually,
you were yesterday when you were talking
well,
to me.
Well, I know, but that was different. Yes. Yes. I was not like occupying equipment, though. I was in like the weight seating area. But just like I was doing yesterday with you. Anyway, I appreciate the compliment.
I know. Did he not just make your week?
Well,
yeah. Maybe a month. Or it made it all worth it the last year?
No.
Yeah, made it all worth it for him to hear a random-ass compliment from Sean.
But you're going to be the one that points it out. Everyone else, you can say, everyone else is thinking it. Sean pointed it out.
Well, I don't do. Listen, the only one I am trying to impress is my lovely and beautiful wife, who looks far better than I do.
I'm just collateral damage by being impressed. I'm just, you know.
Just clattering.
You didn't mean to impress me.
Know. I'm just, you know.
It's good.
It's the salmon. It's the salmon. We're going to go back to it.
Okay. There. You're eating fish.
We're supposed to go back. We're supposed to do the Fast of 15 at some point.
I know. We're getting
I need to keep the show on schedule, the guest host. All right. So we have, Sean, a cancel culture update.
This is your cancel culture update.
Now, the Atlantic Magazine, it used to be an interesting general interest magazine. It subsequently lost millions. I think the last reporting of it was it lost $10 million, and you're going to see why. They have an article out recently talking about the hidden bigotry of crossword puzzles. Crossword puzzles are systemically racist, everyone.
Regardless of the topic you're...
It is racist.
Words or the theme of the words you're looking for.
The article starts out by saying the popular puzzles are largely written and edited by older white men. Oh! Can't have that. Who dictate what makes it into the grid and what is kept out. Now, when I was younger, I did crossword puzzles.
I was going to say, have you done a crossword puzzle?
Not recently, but when I was younger.
It was like a worksheet that they gave you in third grade.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly when I... But did you know that you were actually engaged in systemic racism?
I know,
racism?
That's a thing that they do in school. That's a worksheet. They're going to have to go over curriculum.
We need to decolonize the crossword puzzles, people. Decolonize the crossword puzzles. And the Atlantic Magazine is on it. So next time you see your New York Times crossword puzzle, whatever crossword puzzle you're doing, you see an old person, you know, on the bench in the park doing their crossword puzzle, you need to tell them how racist they are.
Don't do that.
No, don't do that. Leave it to the purple-haired, nose-ring, annoying crowd in Seattle to do that.
All right. Are you going to give this its rightful
place? Okay, yeah. Crossword puzzles, you have been...
Canceled for 5 points.
I love how excited you were to do one of those with Sean.
Oh,
fun.
Very excited to do.
Okay. We might have to bring that back
Sean's
later.
My new best friend for that compliment.
Okay, yeah.
What are you doing later, Sean? You want to hang out?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it. Let's work out, man. In your weird Fight Club underground dungeon workout place.
Well, Sean doesn't live too far from you. He might need an invite to the underground gym.
I don't do it anymore. The gyms are open. Although, I must say, you still have these bozos wearing masks.
In your underground gym?
No. The regular one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I mean, come on now.
I'm over it. No mask.
I don't. For the life of me. All right. We're going to get to the Fast of 15, I promise.
But I don't care.
I am annoyed.
Other people want to.
I don't care. I don't care.
More power to them.
I don't care, but don't be obnoxious about it. Right?
Sure.
For instance, I was in Starbucks not too long ago with my kids. No mask requirement. They had to use the restroom. So I'm waiting. My three-year-old twins. Waiting, some lady open, and we're about 8 feet apart. She opens the door, and she has two masks on, and she goes, 6 feet! 6 feet! And I'm like, excuse me?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, can you not act like a psycho woman? Don't act like a crazy person. I'll gladly, if somebody says, hey, excuse me, could you just give me 6 feet? And, you know, fine. But don't be a jerk about it. And she wouldn't move until I moved farther. I had to actually call Starbucks employees to say this woman is obstructing my kids from using the bathroom. True story. And so the Starbucks people had to escort this woman out. She never got her 6 feet. She had two masks and she was, you know, sputtering mindlessly about the variants. Have you been vaccinated? I asked her. Yes, I have been. But the variants. I'm telling you, mental health is a serious issue.
Right.
In this region.
Just feel bad. It seems like people aren't enjoying life as much.
No.
They've let it go. Now it's just, they're worried about everything.
Well, I think it's because people didn't have structure to their life. They didn't have a meaning. And especially in an area of this region in particular, or more bluer air regions where God is dismissed. Religion and faith, they're all dismissed and marginalized. But people feel, they think it's not like you don't believe in God or you don't go to church and that's it. No, you fill your life with something. And people have found meaning and filling voids in their life by the mask religion and trying to then foist it and impose it upon other people because they want some type of purpose. They've realized they've been living a purposeless life and now they have to, you know, they found some type of meaning. Unfortunately for us, their meaning is being obnoxious. Yeah. We're going to continue with the fastest. Megan Fox, who I haven't heard her name in a while.
Really? She's been everywhere. Jason.
In a while? Before this?
Her and Machine Gun and breaking up with Brian, and her kids that identify as boys or her dresses and all that.
I don't follow that. I don't follow that news.
Okay, well,
okay.
She's been everywhere.
In the movies, right? The last movie I remember her from was Transformers.
Oh, yeah.
Which was what? I don't know, 15 years ago? It was a while ago. So Megan Fox was at the UFC fight recently. Conor McGregor I forget the other guy's name, but the guy who ended up winning. Anyway, she was there recently. So was Donald Trump, right? She was in the same row as Trump. And she writes on Instagram that I was in a row with Justin Bieber and Trump was also in my row. And she goes, he was a legend. That arena was very supportive of Trump when he came in. I've never seen anything like that before.
Oh, yeah, I have the audio. You can play it right in front of you.
Oh, you have the audio?
Yep.
Okay, why don't...
You want me to play it?
I will play it. Is it Megan in her own words?
Yeah.
All right. It's far better than for Megan to say than me.
And you were in that section with all the special people.
I was in a row with Bieber, and mm-hmm. Trump was also in my row.
Oh.
And yeah. And I've never seen Secret Service in person before. So we had like 30 Secret Service with him. And he was a legend. That arena like was very supportive of Trump when he came in. And
after that. Yeah,
that's all she said, though.
I know. That's all she said. It's unobjectionable, right? If you're hearing that, like, okay, very interesting.
It's fact.
It is
fact. This is what happened to her and what she saw.
It was. Even if you didn't know Megan Fox's recount of this, this was big news at the time. It was a big fight. Trump was there. The arena was electric when... You know, Trump was people saw the former president there. So she recounts this. And of course, people get on Twitter and are, you know, decrying her and besmirching her and trying to get her deplatformed from I don't know what, because she said she said Trump is a legend, which she didn't say Trump is a legend. She went on to clarify that she's apolitical, doesn't align herself with any politicians, and that she called this basically a medieval witch hunt from uneducated folks who just can't understand that Trump is a legend to some people. Absolutely. I mean, especially and UFC fans. I mean,
it's Dana, not new to the UFC world.
It's not. Dana White, who runs the UFC, was a huge Trump surrogate. This is nothing new. And by the way, interestingly, UFC remains apolitical. Even though Dana White was a huge Trump supporter, you don't really hear any political positions taken by the UFC.
Unlike other sports,
which we'll get to next in the Fastest 15. It's so heartbreaking. It's so annoying. But it looks like my NFL-less TV is going to continue. And for many of you, probably the same. NFL plans to include the Black National Anthem at major league events and continue with the social justice messaging on the helmets and on the field. And I mean, you saw this last year, all BLM messaging on the field, BLM messaging on the helmets, and the Black National Anthem started to be played. This is incredibly divisive for sports, right? Sports, honestly, in sports is one of those areas that it really doesn't matter the color of your skin or your political persuasion. You can all get together and root for your home team or root for your favorite team. And they've turned it into this social justice boot camp where you're peer pressured to put some type of decal on your helmet to give some left-wing messaging. And it's not that, I don't think the players, listen, if the players want to protest, the NFL can clamp down on it if they want because they are a private organization. But let's say the NFL said, fine, free speech for everyone. You can go ahead and do whatever protest you want on your helmet, or you can protest in any way you would like. You tell me this. You can on your helmet put like end racism or BLM or some garbage like that. What if Tim Tebow wanted to put Jesus is Lord on his helmet? Or on his socks, or something like that. Nicole, what do you think would happen? Do you think that would be approved messaging by the NFL? Or well, Unborn Lives Matter?
Okay, that one might. I don't know about the first one, because I think that there are rules, even for the BLM stuff. I think your socks can't say.
Well, I'm just saying.
But
your helmet. Let's
I understand
your helmet.
What you're saying. It's a... So
or
people just want
back
to escape.
The blue.
Messaging in general. I think people are looking for sports to escape any sort of messaging. They just want
100% agree.
And
I don't want, I'm not saying that I want to see back the blue helmets or I want to see any other type of conservative signage out there from players. I just want to enjoy a football game. Just like when I go get an oil change at Jiffy Lube, I don't want to have a lecture about abortion. Or a lecture about what? Pick the topic.
Right.
Like I'm just there for this particular service, and this is this messaging has bastardized sports. It has created unnecessary divisions. The Black National Anthem. When did it? I mean, what is this? How can you have a country when you have two separate anthems? How can you have a country like everyone? The new hot thing was Juneteenth. Nobody knew what Juneteenth was up until 2 months ago. But now Juneteenth, federal holiday, a new federal holiday, another Emancipation Day to rival the July 4th, and that's how it has been billed. Where you have the activists now who hate American institutions. They think they are racist. They think they are irredeemable. They think they're oppressive. And they are literally going out to carve out a parallel society. Society, and if it happens in sports, it's going to happen, as we see, elsewhere around society. And it is just not healthy. And I wish that, and the NFL, you would think the ratings would stop, right? They've been bleeding with ratings.
Yeah.
Not just the NFL. The NBA ratings for the finals are down 30%.
So my problem with it, and it always makes me question the actual, you know, what they're trying to accomplish with it, because it's the form of communication that they're using to make, because there are racist people, there are racist things that happen, there are all of that is a thing.
Yes.
But if you're wanting to change someone's behavior or change someone's ideas or thoughts or whatever, then you figure out which type of communication works best for them, and then you communicate that way in order to get the best result. I mean, I think as a producer, that's actually one of my specialties, right? I know how to communicate and how to deal with different hosts, different personalities, different, you know, managers, all of that. Like, I'm the in-between because I consider myself a pretty decent communicator. And I go with what works, right? You learn what works. So this messaging is not working. It is dividing people. It is, you know, you're losing ratings, you're losing fans, you're losing. I mean, sports just doesn't even have the same feel anymore. And so why wouldn't you move on? Why don't you move on? And I'm not saying you can't play the Black National Anthem, because you can consider it. You can call it something else, a song for whatever. And it's still just extra time to get beer for people before the show, because they're not going to telecast it, right? It's just going to be in the stadium, and people will continue to get their food and beer, and then they'll start the game, and then people go to the seats.
But to your point, these aren't just meaningless gestures. They are gestures that are divisive.
I know. Right, exactly. But that's what I'm saying. So they can do all this stuff, but then you take it and you're like, oh, that's working. That's not working. This is what we should do. This is what we shouldn't do. And that's not working. Like these companies such as Coke, which we'll probably talk about later, the wokeness in their messaging is not working. So they're going to have to change it because they need to survive, right?
They need to stop hiring these millennials and these Zoomers to do their marketing. They got to stop.
Right. And it doesn't mean that you can't stop fighting for whatever you're fighting for, whatever message you're fighting for. I'm saying, I don't understand. To me, the divisiveness is what they're going for if they're going to continue with the same form of messaging. The communication is going to stay the same, then you're going to get the same outcome. I don't know why you think you're going to get a different result if you're using
But let me correct you, Nicole. You're using logic, and we've been told that linear thinking is a form of white supremacy.
Right.
So before you go further, just risk. You know, think about it. You risk being canceled. We actually had another cancel culture. We're not going to...
We're
going to get to it. All right. There's another cancel culture update that I'm looking forward to. And it is a remarkable one. But before that, we have a guest, Seattle local, who is fighting indoctrination, has plans to fight indoctrinations in the school system. And she's made a fiery appearance on Fox News. And she's going to join me, Jason Matera, as a guest host for Dory Monson. We'll be right back. Dory Monson Show. My name is Jason Matera, guest hosting for Dory today. Well, as you well know, because you're a Dory Monson listener, there's been an incredible national backlash to critical race theory, which is just state-sanctioned racism taking place in the classroom, and collective guilt, and really chastising people and separating them. And making assumptions about them based on their color of their skin. It is disgusting, but you have pushback from parents, and we see this across the country showing up at school board meetings, trying to take over school boards, and the national movement is just getting started, in my opinion. Well, there's a local Seattle mom who has started an organization to help parents equip their children and give them perspective on how to not just fight and oppose this indoctrination, but really take into account that children need a different perspective, and really their parents having hands-on education and not just leaving that to the state in general. The organization is called Them Before Us. She was on Fox News recently talking about her plans. Her name is Katie Faust, and she joins the Dori Monson Show with me, Jason Matera, guest hosting. Katie, welcome to the program.
Hey, Jason, so good to talk with you and your audience today. Quick clarification, I'm a children's rights activist, and that's what my organization, Them Before Us, is all about. But my organization is fighting for children's rights in the family. And so when it comes to just equipping my kids, I'm an ordinary mom, probably like every one of your listeners. I don't have a special background or qualification or institutional credits to my name when it comes to equipping my kids. You know, I'm just a mom just like you. So that's the good news. You don't have to be a professional. You don't have to run a nonprofit or an organization or have a degree to do this well. Every parent can do it.
Katie, and I am so pleased to hear you say that, because from my perspective, and I think what we've seen over the last year with COVID, especially how awful public schools have responded, and there's been a general, there's been an interest now in homeschooling. And I think for too long, conservatives, and I think you noticed that conservatives have multiplied. They reproduce definitely more than the liberals, just statistically, which is a good thing. But then conservatives and Christian families, what they do is sort of, shirk their responsibility as parents many times and just put their kid in the public school and hope for the best. And they think it's, well, it's a public school education like I got, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago. And it's really different. And what we have here are agendas being taken place. So if parents are not going to be intentional about developing their kids' worldview, their value system, and developing virtue and their ethos at an early age, well, then we really can't be surprised or upset when then the school system, which has its own value system, and quite frankly, in the greater Seattle area, it's pretty bad. We can't be surprised or upset when there's indoctrination going forth. And I think parents are starting to realize about this worldview clash. Why don't you speak about that?
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, conservatives have been reproducing in greater numbers than liberals for quite a long time. And we're not sure exactly why. Are conservative women just having more kids, or does having more kids make you more conservative? We don't know. But we know that those kids are not staying conservative a lot of the time, because we're having the babies, we're allowing the left to raise those babies. So that needs to stop. Now, I personally believe that you can do that whether your kids are in homeschool, private school, or public school. My kids have been in some or all of those at different points of their life. And so I don't necessarily think that that means that you have to completely pull them out of public schools, but it better mean that you get more of their time and attention than anybody else, and that you get to them first. Now, that's the key. You need to get to your kids first. Why? Because whoever kids hear from first on these difficult worldview subjects, they're automatically going to consider the expert. So if the first time your kids hear about socialism is from their history, you know, teacher, or if the first time a kid sees porn is from a friend with a smartphone, they're going to go back to that original source when they have more information. You need to be the original source.
Yeah, and I think it's so important at an early age in particular, and I have young kids, so I'm sort of living this out in the moment, is you shield them and protect their innocence as best as possible. But and you really nurture them with your value system. And they get to a certain age where then it's introducing on your ground, in your terms, these alternative worldviews so that they're familiar with them. But I must say, it was and I went to private school growing up, either parochial or Christian. And we would always sort of scoff or make fun of homeschool kids, like they were, you know, weird or too sheltered or whatnot. But it turns out not only were they not weird and sheltered somewhere, for sure, but they were far more advanced academically. They knew not only their subjects and their worldviews, they knew how to defend it against alternative ideas. They just seemed more equipped to navigate the different philosophical landmines that are out there in society. And again, not that everyone has to homeschool, but it's to be intentional about talking and training to your kids, discipling your kids, really imbuing a value system early on, because your kids are going to learn values, right? Whether they, as you said, whether you like it or not, they're going to learn values. So who is the one that's going to disseminate the values? Is it going to be the parent, the authority figure, or is it going to be outsourced to the public school or somebody who has a different and hostile value system?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, there's a balance here, right? Because there is a possibility of over sheltering your kids so they never get exposure to challenges to their worldview. And then they go to college and they completely crumble. I mean, we actually do have statistics about that, right? But then there's also the other danger of just handing them over to the culture and then they're consumed. And so we went for the middle of the road approach where we shelter our kids all the way through elementary school. We filter out damaging and distorted worldview ideas and ideological influences. But once they get to middle school, we tell our kids, we expect you to know more about this than anyone else. We want you to be the expert in the room when the subject of transgenderism or abortion comes up or critical race theory comes up. And so our kids know enough at minimum to spot the lie when they hear it in their classroom or on their social media feed or when you're sitting and watching a show on Netflix. And at most, sometimes they say, you know what, that's not right, and here's why. And not only do they are they able to stand with integrity, they're sharpened, and sometimes they are nurses on the battlefield for other kids who have been wounded by these damaging ideas.
We're speaking with Katie Faust, who runs, she's a child rights activist and runs the organization Them Before Us here on the Dori Monson Show with me, Jason Matera. I do think, Katie, that there is an intimidation that parents think, well, I just don't know how to do it. I don't know how to really train my kid, disciple my kid, invest in my kid. And I think partly is that our culture is selfish too. I hate to say it, but I think mm-hmm. it's a convenient, like, listen, I have two sets of twins, right? I have a busy household. And I definitely, I have to put career opportunities either on hold or just forget them altogether because it would clash with the investment I can be have into my kids as a dad. And I think our culture has minimized the family, and even it's sort of seeped through, and even in conservative Christian circles where career has been put at a higher pedestal than family. And quite frankly, it should be reversed. Family must come first and foremost. But why don't you speak to that? There's definitely a level of sacrifice our kids for convenience sake. It's not articulated in such crude terms, but practically that's what happens.
Well, now you're talking about my children's rights activism. Now you're in the zone of Them Before Us. Them Before Us means them, the children, before us, the adults. And that especially comes with family. There, if you want to know what it takes to thrive, children need three staples of their social-emotional diet: mother's love, father's love, and stability. Okay, marriage gives them all of that. That's why marriage is a social justice issue for children, and it is a absolute must. But when you're talking about, hey, parents don't really know how to do this, maybe I'm not enough, I don't have credentials, well, here's the good news. You don't need a special curriculum. Yeah, I love like awesome camps that you can send your kids to, but you probably have exactly what you need to equip your kids right now. You're listening to this show. You're tuned into the realities of the world. You know the truth and the alternative to what the mainstream media is spewing out. What you need to do is pull your kids into what you're already listening to and what you're already reading, right? Just, you know, I was listening to an incredible interview the other day that Ben Domenech was having with Bobby Bachman. I was sitting in the car with my 15-year-old, and I pulled my AirPod out, and I stuck it in her ear. Just on the way to soccer carpool, right? For 7 minutes, we're listening to this together, and that leads to a great discussion. The next day, I'm listening to an interview with Yemeni Park, right? The woman who escaped North Korea, and I popped it into the ear of my 13-year-old, and we talked about communism, socialism. What does that really look like in practice, right? And so you do this moment by moment, day by day, with what you're already reading, already listening to, and slowly you are going to build up a pretty rigorous worldview filter for your kids.
Katie Faust, how can Dori's listeners learn more about you and to see what you're doing and even get tips from your organization?
Well, if you want everything about marriage and family, go to thembeforeus.com. I wrote an article at The Federalist a couple of years ago. I think it's called Four Ways to Ensure That Your Kids Don't Fall Prey to Liberal Assimilation. I write at The Federalist. You can look at all of my articles there. So that's where I've written most about parenting, probably. But I haven't written a lot on parenting because the reality is you parents, you moms and dads, you have what it takes already. You don't need a book, right? You just need to be experts and then train your kids to be experts as well.
Yeah, I will say, though, just as a parent, and my kids aren't as old as yours, I have appreciated the work because there are some great books out there by Focus on the Family. James Dobson has some incredible insights.
For sure.
Over the years, who's done with this clinically and gives has definitely helped me out as a parent, because sometimes you do feel lost and not knowing, you know, and then you realize that actually you're going through what other parents around the world are going through as well. But Katie Faust, the organization is Them Before Us, and it's thembeforeus.com. I encourage you to go check it out, and we really appreciate your fighting spirit on family rights, parental rights, children rights, and we wish you best of luck moving forward.
Yeah, that's right. You're not a victim, and your kids don't have to be victims either.
All right, Katie Faust, everyone, Them Before Us. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Dory Monson. Coming up next, did you know what's going on in Cuba? The protests in the street, it's not the fault of the communists. No. It's the fault of an orange man. You know what orange man that is? I'm sure you do, but we're going to talk about it and who's blaming him coming up. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. My name is Jason Matera, guest hosting for Dory today as he is out salmon fishing. Catching some big ones, too, if you follow him on social media.
And eating them. And, I mean, he's probably not eating them right now, but just to clarify, he does
he
like
does eat salmon,
salmon.
He does like salmon.
Yelled at for not saying that, I guess, for saying he might not like it.
He might. I know. He got defensive over that one.
Very defensive.
Yeah, he's aggressive with you.
All right.
Goodness.
He eats what he kills. I guess that's what he wants. I'm not sure we knew.
Well, as long as he shares with the rest of us, that's all that matters. So, I wanted to get to this audio, but we're going to get to it later on the show on Donald Trump being blamed for what's happening in Cuba, which is just remarkable. They can't let Trump go. And we'll tell you the reporter who's doing it and others as well. Rather than blame the communists, they continue to blame everyone else, but what started with the Castro regime and is now continuing with the Castro regime, although there's a figurehead in place. But before that, I didn't know that this existed, but apparently there is an emoji, Nicole, consortium that meets. It's called the Unicode Consortium, and they draft the emojis that we see on our phones and that we can use. Are you a big emoji person?
I guess I use the smileys often. I typically resort to the same few, the what are you thinking smile thing, whatever. What's that one even called? I don't even know, but I use it for everything.
Well, now you can use, if you decide to, because you are tolerant and inclusive, the new batch of emojis, which includes a pregnant man and a pregnant person. A pregnant man, and as this consortium described, an emojipedia, which apparently is a thing. Pregnant man and pregnant person are new and recognize that pregnancy is possible for some transgender men and non-binary people. These are additions to the existing pregnant woman emoji. So there's a pregnant man emoji, there's a pregnant woman emoji. By the way, these are the people who talk about men can get pregnant, men can menstruate, all this silliness that hound us to believe the science. Mask up, double mask, variants. Men can't get pregnant. My goodness.
There's also one where he is covering his eyes but is peeking through one. And I think that's kind of funny.
amazing. Well, you can check it out at emojipedia.com if you're interested on the men can get pregnant emoji. Jason Matera, guest hosting for Dory Monson. We'll be back after the break.